Hi, and welcome to Is It Dad Rock Yet? I'm Martin, and joining me and Steve today is Cam and Johnny from Lorin. Say hi, guys.
Oh, hiya.
Hello. Lovely to be on.
Lorin are a band that play chaotic music from Manchester here in the UK, and here is the lead single from their latest EP, Aren't You Happy?
Time for some warm-up questions. Johnny, what was the last thing you listened to on Spotify that wasn't Dillinger Escape Plan?
Oh, on the way here, I listened to Incendiary, the new Incendiary album, Change the Way You Think About Pain. And then the start of the new Harm's Way album, Common Suffering. Because I'm one of the few people who doesn't listen to Spotify playlists as much. I just listen to albums. So yeah, the new Incendiary album, it's really good.
I really enjoy that album.
And we are also album kind of guys, aren't we, Steve?
Yeah.
Fantastic. So when I first listened to it, the guitar sounded like different to the one previous. And I was like, ooh, this is something new. This is something different for them. And then the riffs were kind of like, oh, this is so Incendiary, it's unreal. And I absolutely love it. It's really, really good.
Cam, what was the last thing that you listened to on Spotify?
Oh, no.
You're not a Spotify man.
I'm not a Spotify man, no.
What do you use?
Or similar.
So because I'm a mix engineer, I don't really listen to music that isn't stuff that I mix or record. I'll have habits of listening to stuff in between. But last thing I probably listened to was probably the Pain of Truth record, because I was recording, I was mixing a band who wanted that sort of style. But Pain of Truth are an incredible band, and I saw them at Outbreak.
You recorded them at Outbreak.
Recorded the audio for them at Outbreak, and it was a very religious experience. And
I was in the middle of it. It was it was something.
Yeah,
quite call it religious, but it was certainly something.
Unreal record, and the fact how it's all every single song on the record, it has a feature on it, a hip hop record,
is hilarious.
Cool. Yeah, it's cool. You're never going to be able to play it live with all the features. Maybe, but
festivals.
Yeah, but yeah, it's an unreal record. That's probably the last thing I probably listen to in terms of just jamming something, just because I'm like, oh, let me actually hear this to see. Number one, to hear what the vibe is. Number two, I'm not actually listening to it for a minute. So I thought, oh, I finally listened to it. And when you're actually paying attention to it, it's oh, they're doing this and that. It's sick. Think you're clever, pull it off, wait, no one's around. You know what it is, we're out there holding it down. It wasn't long ago with tears in your eyes, asking, begging if I can't go outside. Just think they're friends because they always act up. Now you're here, acting like you're dumb. Could not apologize like a man. Should've gave up when you had your chance. Slick motherfucker, now you'll feel the same. Pain to understand, we'll do your back. You'll remember my name. Too big of a bite.
Okay, Johnny, next question. So what song or band got you into alternative music?
Oh, my God. Alternative music? Because I was a big Biffy Clyro kid. I was kind of an indie kid, as I'm saying officially on a podcast after I ripped into him for saying it on another one. I was kind of an indie kid for a bit because everyone in my school was an indie kid and I wanted to fit in. But I always liked heavy music, always liked Metallica, always liked Slayer, always liked... heavy stuff my dad was into, Rush and weird stuff like that. I guess that's alternative. But, it was probably a Biffy Clyro tune, an old Biffy Clyro song, of the first three albums, where it was oh, this is a rock tune, but it's really weird. Because I got into Creeper quite early on when they were first starting out, and then through them I got into AFI, Alexis on Fire, Alkaline Trio. Through them, weirdly, because I could see what does this band and they listen to, what band shirts they wear, and I was oh, cool, they Alkaline Trio and Alexis on Fire and all that sort of stuff. So that's probably the start of my alternative music thing. Those divergences to bring me in. All that sort of shebang, and then it just kind of went pretty much exclusively hardcore.
Yeah.
After a while.
I mean, it's interesting, if your dad's into the old bands and things like that, granddad rock, as we like to call on this show, because, it ain't dad rock. And but having someone else's taste and growing up with that, there's a difference to finding something yourself, Biffy Clyro, and hearing it and thinking, oh, actually... And it piques your interest, and then you almost go on a journey on your own without anyone guiding you as such. Whereas, you listen to what your dad listens to in car, or because it's just, it is there. So yeah, it's a completely different experience finding it out yourself.
Absolutely. But in fairness, having one of the first five albums ever bought for you being Master of Puppets by Metallica, it's still pretty good. It's pretty good still now. It still sounds great. But like, Royal Blood as well, I'm just remembering as well. When that first album came out and I was playing bass, I'm a bass player, and my dad was a bass player and he tried to teach me and I just ignored him because I was 12 and an idiot. And even though he's an incredible musician, when Royal Blood came out, I was like, it's just a bass player and a drummer. Oh my God, I need to learn this entire album. And I did. I was like, okay, if I can play this, I can kind of do other stuff. And then started playing in bands, then got kicked out of a band, and then decided to get kind of good. And then this happened, and it's doing all right.
Cam, what about yourself?
Like, I kind of, like, with alternative music, it's a thing I kind of, like, grew up on, because, like, the first show I ever went to, like, first proper, like, rock show, which was when I was a kid. I don't know how old I was, but I was, like, a kid. First show I ever went to was the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So I don't remember anything from that show because I was a kid and, like, why would I? I was told they weren't that good. But
that sounds about right for Red Hot Chili Peppers, I'll be honest. Yeah.
I was told they weren't that good.
There's a funny, actual Dillinger-related Chili Pepper story I've got as well later. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, sorry.
So I got because, like, I grew up with that, and a lot of my household used to listen to, like, Nirvana, Foo Fighters. What I'd probably describe now,
Foo Fighters, actually, that's probably a big one.
What I would probably describe as, like, the Radio X bands, if that's a good way to describe it, but. Yeah.
XFM, I'm still a believer.
The XFM believers. So I got into, like, just alternative music just through being too exposed to it as, like, a kid. And then, like, when I was growing up, I was a massive wrestling fan. And because, you know, with wrestling, the main, like, whole, like, the massive, like, macho thing is to come out to, like, heavy metal or something, like, you know, a bit heavier than, like, usual. As a kid, my favorite wrestler was CM Punk, and he came out to This Fire Burns by Killswitch Engage. And that was, like, my first proper, like, oh, okay, he's screaming, but I like it. And then that kind, like, they're a weird gateway band, Killswitch, because it's, you can either go down the two ways of, is it, are you going to listen to the more metalcore side of it or the more hardcore side of it? Because they kind of came from both worlds. And I kind of dived into the hardcore side of it. And then instead of going into, like, the more, like, accessible hardcore bands, I just kind of went into the extreme side of it, and that's why we're here today to answer questions
pretty much
about the Dillinger Escape Plan.
Johnny, who is your favorite artist or band right now?
That is incredibly hard. All time it's Dillinger still, but right now with This is all, it's right now, it's not all time. That's what you're saying.
Right yeah, now. Right now.
Right.
Yeah, so like who's on sort of heavy rotation, really, I suppose.
And you know, the right now can change day to day.
Yeah. Well, heavy rotation right now, I listen to a lot of Mind Force, a lot of Gridiron, a lot of Drain, Tsunami, new hardcore bands, and then into some of the classics, old classic stuff like early Hatebreed, 100 Demons, all that sort of stuff. But I'm probably going to go with a bit of Local Love, because my favourite album of the year thus far is a man called Pleiades.
Oh,
if
yeah,
you're familiar
yeah.
with them at all.
Yeah, yeah. I've got them on my 2023 playlist.
Affinity With, their new album this year, is the best album I've heard this year. And they're local. They're from Manchester. They're from around here. No one around here sounds like them at all. They're doing their own thing. And they're the boys. But they're also making some of my favourite music I've listened to in a long time. So I'd probably say them, genuinely.
Yeah, top lads as well.
Oh, lovely, top lovely lads. People. Lovely people.
Cam, what about yourself? Appreciate you did mention that, you know, you don't listen to music as much as you might have done yeah. before your engineering stuff.
Yeah. So I don't listen to metal or hardcore as much as like our Johnny here. I am kind of, I love pop music, which sounds really dumb. Well, not really, because, you know.
If you listen to all this, you can absolutely yeah, tell you can love tell. Pop music.
You can tell. So... My top three records, the New Armed record
is really good.
Yeah, the New Armed record, which is kind of like
and the Armed in general, we absolutely love.
Yeah, so the Armed is like one of the newer bands that have come out. Well, not newer, but you know, bands that have been putting out stuff recently, which like. They're probably up there, but in terms of currently, if it was banned, there's a band currently called Model Actress, who are like this weird post-punk kind of poppy, but not poppy, like noisy.
Like the loudest disco you've ever heard.
Oh, the loudest disco.
Like it's all disco.
I feel so like out of the loop. You know, of all these bands you're saying, I'm just like, yeah, not heard of these guys. No, no.
Model Actress as well. They only came out like this year. From what I believe,
they're a big kind of pitchfork band, is the word.
Yeah,
like people with beanies too small for their heads, really. Like
yeah, so
and you, sorry,
but band wise, Model Actress.
As close as I can take. And the colors are smeared. Turning breath into frost as the ground falls in to a pillar of smoke at the cross of God.
Artist wise, if that's a part of like if that's an extension of the answer, there's this pop artist called Slater with three Y's, I think, or whatever. But she made like this really cool, like Lady Gaga, like style, like pop, like concept pop record. Where it's about like someone trying to get their way in Hollywood, and it's a really cool record. It's proper like throwback, proper like 80s synth, but like modern noughties like production style stuff, and it's really cool. Like it's one of those like records that it's like it's made to be a little too perfect, and that's kind of on purpose rather than it being like a disingenuous thing. I don't know. I like. Stuff like that, like stuff that's way too overly perfect.
Oversaturated. Like,
yeah, way too overly perfect. I find there's like an art behind it, and I appreciate, like, that's what I try and do with us quite a bit. But yeah, so in terms of like top two favorite artists, band, Model Actress, artist, Slater currently.
That's very accurate for you.
Yeah. Into this bag of coke, when the pride means I'm broke. Like sex, body drugs.
Steve, I actually forgot to ask you as well. What are you currently listening to? We usually ask each other as well, this one.
Oh, yeah, we do, don't we? I was listening to Frightened Rabbit when I was cooking tea tonight.
Far from the electric floor, removed from the red meat market, I look for a fire door, an escape from the drums and barking, bereft of all social charms.
Oh, you're all right.
Don't worry, guys. I'll go give him a big hug after this.
They're great band, though. They're great band.
Oh, they're brilliant, but they're miserable, man.
Yeah, all miserable. Yeah. But actually, I found myself dancing to it, and I was like, oh, this is a bit strange.
Yeah. But, yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Great.
Well, thanks for asking, Steve. I've been
listening
Sorry, fucker.
No, Robin just walked in to get her iPad, so... I completely forgot. What you've been listening to, Martin? What you've been listening to?
Well, I've been listening to a band called, I think they're called Remember Sports. I think they're called.
Oh, that's sick. That's
yeah, it. They're like a punky band, I think from America. Yeah. And the sort of vocal style, it's different. It's like they can't sing, but they can. It's a lady singer. I think they have a guy sing on some of the songs as well. But yeah, you'll get it from the clip that I put in. It's a weird vocal style, but I think it makes it really interesting and good.
Well, I'm looking forward to checking all these bands out.
And last question of this section, guys. What is your guilty pleasure when it comes to bands? So, for example, you might like Celine Dion or Cher, for example. No judgment here.
I feel no guilt.
Yeah. Well, mine personally is Tegan and Sarah. So I found them out a couple of years ago. They've done a few one of them's done a few things with Alkaline Trio and Against Me and things like that. So went down a bit of a rabbit hole one night and was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Then they were touring in, played in Manchester actually, bought tickets, took my wife. She isn't even a fan. Well, she kind of likes them now. But yeah, like that's it. Well, not guilty pleasure, but you know, when you're like, it's not something that I would usually be into as such. So that's an example of what mine is. Get me, feel me, want me, like me, love me, need me tonight. You're for my fire. You can't stop desire. Oh, 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 stop desire. Oh, 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 I'm trying. But you feel to my fire. You can't stop desire. Oh, 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 stop desire. Oh, 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 oh. What would you say he was if you had one?
There's only one that's coming into my head right now, and it's only guilty because I know lots of the words to the songs, but I can never utter them again. 3-6 Mafia. I've got to stay high till I die. Pump up pass, nigga, roll that blunt. Let's get high, nigga, smoke us one. Pop, pull out the phantom, niggas can't stand it, but them hoes gon' come out. Just really wanna smoke my weed. Fuck these hoes and stack my G's. Stop at the light and pause on three. Hit them all and it be all on me. But gotta keep one eye for the popo. Close the window when I roll the endo. Know they mad cause I'm rolling benzo. Just that purple, brilliant. They're 36 Mafia are like DMX or something, like really hard-nosed gangster rap or something that is like unspeakable by myself in public.
Oh, but right.
It is amazing.
I was going to say, like, 36 Mafia is nothing to be guilty about.
Oh, there's nothing.
I was going to say.
That's what I'm saying. I don't feel guilty in my listening choices, but like I'd feel guilt like reciting.
You wouldn't do a karaoke.
36 Mafia song.
If you was on the train and it was blasting out your headphones, you'd be like, oh.
But I'd be comfortable in my own choices, but in everyone else's judgment of me, I wouldn't be.
You probably do the Mark Henry theme on the Met.
Yeah, but that's the worst song.
Oh, no. You can't say that.
Sorry, Mark. No, I'm trying to think of an actual one. An actual one that I feel like, oh, no. I feel a bit guilty about.
When I say like guilty pleasure, I kind of more like, you know, like I have all the sort of pop music. I'm not really a big fan, but I do like Tegan and Sarah. I think they're a little bit off pop, I suppose.
Yeah.
Quite like, you know, Taylor Swift, you know, some of their singles, some of her singles and stuff like that. You know, like, it's just different to what my usual taste is. Oh. So there's something about it that I just enjoy.
I suppose it's difficult for you, Cam, because if you're into pop music anyway, it's like, yeah, I'm just into this.
Nothing's off the table. Yeah.
I've got a list of like what, right, here we go. Here's all the things that could be considered guilty pleasure, but aren't, because I have no shame. Number one, favorite pop artist of all time. Actually, second, because the Charlie XCX is my top, which I think we're getting...
I love Charlie as well.
Yeah, we're getting to a point now where Charlie XCX is just a normalized, like, yeah, she's just great. So here we go. Here's the list. So number one, I went to see Carly Rae Jepsen live instead of seeing Love. That's and it was an incredible show. So Carly Rae Jepsen, currently Creed.
Oh, you should feel guilty. No, you should feel guilty if listening to Creed.
Exactly. But you know,
you have no shame.
I've just realized what a real guilty pleasure is. Like my guilty pleasure, I was going to say Carly Rae Jepsen because I don't mind. I can't remember. I don't know what the song's called, but it's like that. Hey, what's your number? Yeah. And I'm like, I'll sing that for days after I've heard like just that chorus.
Yeah.
But I think the real guilty pleasure is something like listening to Lost Prophets.
Oh, no.
You should not be doing that. And if you're doing that, you ain't telling anyone.
That's real guilt right there.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Moving on, guys. Let's talk a little bit about Lurin. Can you tell us a bit more about the band? So, like, how did the band start?
In here. Yeah, literally in here. Yeah. In the bedroom.
He was having a sleepover one night.
We always kind of wanted to do a band together. There was failed iterations, and then you had some demos. I came over. We figured out, recorded, came up with the band concept and the name in a day and made the EP and the artwork and all the stuff like pretty close afterwards.
Yeah.
It started in here just because we wanted to make a band. Mainly the reason we wanted to make a band, and this is brilliant that we're doing this as a subject, is because Dillinger broke up in 2017, three final shows in New York City, which will be the bane of my existence that I wasn't able to somehow go. And we were like, there's a hole in the world where this band's energy is missing. And we were actively looking for bands that were like, oh my God, these sound like Dillinger. And we were like, well, listen to these all sound like Godmother, Renounced, and
Vain
and bands like that, Nails. And then we're like, we'll try and do one of a similar ilk to it and just make a live show as chaotic and filled with the energy that they put into the world as much as we can, because that's kind of our tribute to them, really. I'd say
we are a diet Dillinger band.
But the reason we started the band is
Dillinger kind of, from Wish. I heard that's what I saw. That's what you should put in your bio.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much how it started. Literally,
yeah. we knew each other in high school. Went to high school together. Always kind of flirting around, recommending each other music and listening to stuff, and yeah, just old friends decided to make a band for better or for worse.
So was it just the two of you to begin with?
Yes, it was.
And then how did you get the members join?
So we had the record out. So it was quite easy when you put the record out, because then it's like you can see who like is like keen and see, like, it's like when you're trying to find members, it'd be easy to like, it's easy to say like, oh, I've got a band, and then you have nothing there, which like you can't, like if you're trying to convince someone to join a band, it's like, oh, you can't really, like if there's nothing there, they don't know, like you don't know what they're getting into.
I have a band, write a song for me. That's kind
of, yeah. So we had a few mates and a few mutuals who like saying, oh, these people want to start a band. And then we just showed them the record and been like, hey, do you want to play guitar or drums or for this? And they're like, oh yeah, sure. And then that's kind of how the band worked. Like, so we got that. Then we started writing together and then then we started playing live. And then that's kind of just how it's been ever since. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, nice. So are you all part of like the writing process, or is it like you guys are the main band and the other guys kind of like play, or is everyone just involved?
It's more collaborative now than it's ever been. I think that's fair to say. I think our drummer writes a lot. Our guitar player wrote a lot of the first album, full album. I occasionally have a song that just comes to me and I have to write it. It's weird because I don't do riffs. I have a song that comes in my head and I'm like, okay, there's an idea for a song, let's figure it out. And then we have a relatively new member now who's going to become more involved in the writing process, I think.
Yeah.
Later down the line, but at the moment,
like we've got stuff written.
We've got stuff written, and they're kind of just like, I'm cool to be playing this, and I'll, you know.
Yeah.
They're on probation, you know, give them six
months. They're well in. They're loaded.
They've been playing for us for a year now, so
they're past probation, but they have their own band as well that they do most of the writing for and all. And they've got a new record coming out as well. So it's like they're focusing on that as well. Yeah. So makes sense.
So this episode is going to be released in January. I think it's the first episode of 2024.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So what have you guys got coming up in 2024? Just plenty of writing, plan to record another album?
Okay. So currently, as it stands, with stuff that is booked in, we currently have nothing. Zilch.
That's what
nothing's happening currently.
Nothing happened currently.
But there's a lot of hypothetical.
A lot of
hypothetical shows that may be booked in, some hypothetical tours, a bunch of demos that are just sat there currently that we are looking to just make better, but we don't know how long that's going to end up in development hell for, so we can't guarantee anything.
They're pretty good at the moment.
But so currently nothing, but if you keep an eye out, there could be something, and everyone likes a little bit of something.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone loves a little bit of something, but in a real, bunch of shows.
At time of recording, there's not much going on, but we have like 20 odd demos of tunes.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of music out there that is to be fiddled and tinkered around with that is, for my take, really good. And we have the capacity to play gigs. We've played enough at the moment now over the past 3 years.
That
we'll get booked. It's not going to be a case like we'll be fiending for gigs. People will want to book us.
Anyway.
And that's not even a big thing to say. There'll be someone at some point that will book us.
And if someone doesn't want to book us, then we're just going to book ourselves.
Exactly.
We're going to make ourselves open for bands. It's cool.
Yes. God, I love doing that.
I love it. I hate headlining.
One of Us is the Killer by the Dillinger Escape Plan from the year 2013, as chosen by our guests this week, Cam and Johnny from Lure In. So, first, guys, why this album? I think you've already mentioned, Johnny, that Dillinger's one of your favourite bands of all time. Cam, I assume that's the same for you. Why did you choose this album in particular?
I saw the Dillinger Escape Plan, not really knowing who they were, at Reading Festival 2016, and my life changed. the first album I listened to after that was the one that they were kind of promoting at the time, which was this album. So, yeah, it was the first release I listened to of theirs, and I absolutely love it. But, yeah, my evening went from Imagine Dragons to Dillinger to Red Hot Chili Peppers to leaving Red Hot Chili Peppers because they were rubbish to Mastodon. And I was 16, and my whole view of how a live music setting could be completely changed. And whatever they were doing, whatever they were writing, however they were doing it, I was invested into it. And yeah, this was the first album I listened to them front to back. So yeah, all of them since as well.
But yeah, pretty much same deal, except I didn't see them.
You didn't go see them.
I told you to go see them.
You told me, and I thank you for it.
Yeah. Nice, guys. So I want to start off this with a bit of a practice quiz because it's fun. And because the Dillinger Escape Plan are named after the infamous bank robber John Dillinger, I thought it'd be fun to do a little game about how people got caught for the crimes they committed. So it's true or false. I'm going to tell you how these people got caught, and you're going to tell me if you think it's true or not.
Okay. Okay.
Here we go.
So Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, when he released his manifesto, his brother recognized the ideas and the style that it was written in, and he went and told the FBI.
Ooh. I think that might be true, because I thought it was either a family member, like his postie or something. So I think that might be true.
I don't know too much about this. I'm gonna go with you.
I think it's true.
All right, so
I think because I know he was. He was like a university professor, wasn't he? He was a very smart guy. Smart, but hey guys, complete
don't overthink
lunatic.
It. Don't overthink it.
So
don't
if he's
yes.
smart guy, it's true then.
Yes, it's true. It's true. Because he had a very right.
Yeah, that is true. So he got away with his crimes for like nearly two decades, and then he published his manifesto. His brother must have seen it and was like, holy shit, that's clearly Ted. Went and told the FBI from there. He got arrested.
Top notch.
Okay, next one. Harold Shipman, also known as Dr. Death. He forged the will of his last victim and left the majority of the estate to himself. And basically, the family were just having none of it. True or false?
Was that the guy from... Wasn't he from Manchester?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Well, Preston, Manchester area.
Yeah. Preston.
Says a lot.
Yeah.
He's from Wigan, it's fine.
I'm trying to think now because I have read the story like multiple times.
I don't think that was it. I think it was just because loads of people were dying in his hospital.
Because
he's correct me if I'm wrong, although he's been sort of not convicted for all of them, but the amount of people that he supposedly have killed is like insane, as in like the most anyone's ever killed.
I'd say false. Cause
apart from like Genghis Khan, right? Obviously, or someone like that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's only so many times you get away with that, thinking about it. So I'd say false.
Yeah, like the woman who was, you know, killing the babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think false. That sounds a bit too Scooby-Doo for my liking.
Oh, sorry, guys. It is actually true.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So he killed an estimated like 250 people. He was convicted of 15. But what happened is that he'd written this fake will, and he'd used his own typewriter, and the family sort of realized something was off with the will, because obviously, like, why would she leave like most of her estate to her doctor? So it was investigated, and it was found that she died of a morphine overdose, which coincided with when Harold Shipman visited her. And then it was found out he also had a typewriter that the will was written on. That's not to say like there wasn't suspicion, because like you said, like a lot of people were dying in his care, and it was just like, this was like the straw that broke the camel's back. They were like, we've got him, we can do it now. And that's how he got caught.
They didn't actually convict him.
Fair enough. Oof.
Nice.
Hey, thanks.
The next one is Dennis Rader, the BTK killer. And that stands for blind torture kill. So true or false? So he asked the police in a letter if they could trace him if he left a floppy disk at the scene of a crime. And they replied to him and said, no, I don't think we can. you can leave a floppy disk, you'll probably be fine. So he did. He left a floppy disk, and that's how they found him. They used the metadata from his floppy disk.
That is way too Scooby-Doo.
No, but okay. We know what Scooby-Doo's led us to thus far.
I reckon that is way too Scooby-Doo.
Can't leave a floppy disk, yes. All right, then. False.
Sorry, guys, it's true.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't get
all true.
Yeah, he didn't get caught for years. He even named himself. He sent letters to newspapers like the Zodiac Killer and sort of like that's how he corresponded with the police. But he said to the newspapers like, "You should call me the BTK killer." And he got caught because he, you know, I guess he wanted to get caught, really. But yeah, he left a floppy disk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so...
Fair enough.
We now know, the more Scooby-Doo it sounds, it's probably
the
true.
The more true it is.
Okay, last one. Peter Sutcliffe, Yorkshire Ripper. He was caught because he used false number plates on his car. True or false?
That might be true, actually. Because he would have been pulled over by a police officer and they were actively looking for him because they knew what he looked like. He would have been pulled over with false plates and the cop would be like, hang on a minute, you're Peter Sutcliffe.
I'll say true as well, but I'm expecting a false as soon as we say true.
This isn't the quiz that we have to do well.
I know, okay, fine. True.
True. Yeah, true is correct, yeah. He went to
Sheffield. Oh, true. Damn.
He went to Sheffield with fake plates. His car got caught for having fake plates. Well, I think the police officer was just on the beat, so his car was like, that's a little bit weird. I'm going to run the plates, fake plates. And then he got arrested. They were like, shit, this guy looks like the Yorkshire Ripper, like, you know, the descriptions. And then the sergeant went back to the scene of a crime, I guess, where his car was. It was with a prostitute, to be fair. And they found a hammer, a knife, and some rope. And they were like, well, this is clearly the fucking guy. So that's how he got caught.
Damn.
Interesting. Yeah. I had fun looking all that stuff up. I thought, I'm going to find out like the stupidest ways people have got caught and just, you know, put all them in. If I made a false one, it would have been shit. It would have been like, you know,
I didn't think of that.
He slipped on a banana and left his blood somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, slipped on a banana and chem somewhere. It was just fucking true, weird. Anyway, right. Now, the actual quiz. Let's do the quiz. So, first question.
Yes.
Greg Puciato said he wrote the lyrics to the title track One of Us is the Killer in about 45 minutes, and he knew as soon as he had the title for the song that it would be used for the album as well, as it sets up the tone and the theme of the lyrics. But what is the general theme of the lyrics for this album? And it's a multiple choice. A, it's generally about Greg and his girlfriend at the time, Jenna Hayes, having a toxic relationship. Or B, it's about his friendship with longtime bandmate Ben Weinman. C, it's about one night he was high on mushrooms and some other drugs and thought he had died. Or is it D, it's about the time we went to a house of mirrors, got so scared and confused he tried to stab himself?
Now, C, it could be D, but no, it's B.
It's either A or B.
I believe it's his girlfriend
as well. You believe it's about Ben. You reckon it's B?
Most of the things that I've heard about that record is that it's about Ben. And I'm pretty sure I saw in an interview a while back it was about some stuff was about Ben, but I don't know.
I think it is. I think it's either A or B, but let's go with B.
Yeah, I reckon Ben. So B.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, guys. It's about his friendship with Ben. And friendship's maybe not the right word, but probably relationship.
Acquaintance.
But yeah, the lyrical theme came about when Greg was taking mushrooms and some other drugs with Jenna Hayes, and he had a bad trip. He thought he was dying, and then he started crying out for Ben. And then he sort of realized that, oh, Ben means more to me than I thought he did. And he sort of said, like, I need to stop pointing the finger and blaming Ben for stuff, because it's not just, he's not the reason our relationship is so tense or intense. It's because of me as well. It wasn't that night that he started writing the lyrics, I would assume. It was a little bit after. But the thing I read did say that, because he was with Jenna Hayes, who, well, I don't know who she is, but I'm sure you guys do.
I've never heard of her.
But the paramedics were like, messaged him and were like, oh, we know who you were with.
If anyone's listening and don't know, just Google her. Just see, you know, find out who she is.
Yeah, and do it while you're at work.
Oh, no. I do. Right. Okay. I don't know who she is, but I knew he dated someone in the industry.
Oh, the industry.
The entertainment industry. Yeah. Okay, next question. The Dillinger Escape Plan formed in 1997. They released their debut album in 1999, and Greg Puciato was not the original vocalist. He didn't join the band until 2004's Miss Machine. Overall, there has been 15 members of Dillinger Escape Plan over the years, which is fucking loads. Who is the original member to play on this album? Is it A, Bill Reimer on drums? Is it B, Liam Wilson on bass? Or C, Ben Wyman on guitar?
Benjamin Weenie Man.
Benj Wimes.
Yes.
He's the only original member left at the end.
Yeah, absolutely correct. So, they've had 15 members over the years, and Ben's been the only member to play on all albums, with Greg and Liam joining the band for Miss Machine, and then Bill joined for 2010's Option Paralysis.
Since the Dillinger Escape Plan disbanded in 2017, Greg Puciato has gone to release two solo albums, an album with his band Kill or Be Killed, an album with his other band The Black Queen, and most recently has started Better Lovers with Jordan Buckley of Every Time I Die. Oh, yeah. What has Ben done since they disbanded? Has he A, started an animal sanctuary? Has he B, opened a health food store? Has he C, started flipping houses? Or D, sleeping on friends' sofas and selling Herbalife for the past 6 months?
Animal Sanctuary
in New Jersey.
Yes, with the Patreon.
He was in the world's most violent band for 20 years, and now he's a vegetarian in flannel shirts who looks after animals. It's the cutest thing ever.
Yes.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Yeah. It was Vanilla Ice who started flipping houses.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, no, I think I did hear about that, actually. That's weird.
Was it as soon as he was flipped out of a window by Shug Knight?
Oh, I wasn't aware of that, but that's hilarious.
I'm pretty sure that was Vanilla Ice. Was it Vanilla Ice? Yeah, pretty sure. I'm pretty certain he had a run-in with Shug Knight.
Yeah, so Ben's played a few shows with Nine Inch Nails and System of a Down, and in 2018 he became a full-time member of Suicidal Tendencies. He has also been composing scores for film, and he plays in Giraffe Tongue Orchestra, which is a supergroup that consists of members of Alice in Chains, Mastodon, and the Mars Volta. So he's been a busy boy.
So next question. Unlike the run-up to previous albums, the band did not release many previews for the songs being recorded for One of Us is the Killer. The album and its title was announced in February 2018, and the first single from the album was released the following month. What single was released from the album? I can give you multiple choice. Was it A, One of Us is the Killer, B, When I Lost My Bet, or C, Prancer?
Prancer.
I'm assuming Prancer.
Prancer was the Prancer was the only single. They had a video with it, and it's a video where there's a dying swan in the video.
Yeah.
That was the only single.
Yep. That is right, guys. Prancer was the first and only single released. But the song When I Lost My Bet was given an official music video, which is available on YouTube. It just wasn't released as a single.
As mentioned in an earlier question, the lyrical theme of the album is the relationship between Greg and Ben. What are the opening lyrics from the album? Is it A, How Could It All Be? We've Never Been Dead, But Never Awake From This Dream? Is it B, She Moves Abstract, Just Like the Shadow Dancing on the Edge, Like a Storm Cloud Passing Overhead? Or is it C, Now Let's Burn This We Recreated?
How could it all be?
How could it all be? We've never been dead, we've never walked from this
Probably the best album intro.
One of the greatest openers ever written.
Yeah, it's just...
Whenever I've seen them, like the lights go off and go crazy and they do those mad scratchy panic chords and the room just collectively loses their mind.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
There's also a video of the final show where it was the second to last show. And it was like, this is the final time we're playing this song. Opens up with a da 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 da. The stop and just the entire crowd, you know, like
not only of like excitement, but I think of genuine concern.
Yeah.
But yeah, how could it all be?
Yeah,
brilliant. She moves like an abstract, like a shadow on the edge. The opening lyrics from One of Us is the Killer, and Now Let's Burn, This We Created is the final line from the last track on this album, which is The Threat Posed by Nuclear War.
Mm-hmm. I mean, have you got every single one right so far? You haven't, you?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's keeping count?
I am, and we have.
Okay. One of Us is the Killer boasts 11 songs in all and has a duration of 40 minutes and 6 seconds. Which of the following songs is not a track from this album? Is it A, Hero of the Soviet Union, B, Crossburner, C, Panasonic Youth, or D, Paranoia Shields?
Panasonic Youth. Opener for Miss Machine.
Yeah, absolutely correct. And you stole my little tidbit, which is Steve.
Sorry.
we're too good.
I feel like we're ruining the format here, lads. I say as we're about to get decimated.
Oh, we're not getting any more right. No more right.
Who was the mix engineer? Oh, go away. You probably know.
Okay, Steve Evetts.
Sorry.
We literally just said you're going to say who was the mix engineer, and after we say right, we won't know this.
Couldn't hear you because of all the laughing.
Yeah, sorry.
Steve Evetts has been the producer, sound engineer, and mixer for almost all Dillinger Escape Plan releases. But where does he live? No, I'm joking. That's not the question.
Oh.
He has an unusual style of producing the albums. Which of the following statement is true? Is it A, he makes the band track their parts to a click without being able to hear the other elements of the song? Is it B, he makes the band do a large number of takes for each part, sometimes making them do over 100 takes? Or is it C, he makes the band track their instruments naked?
Not C.
I'm now trying to think if it's Dillinger or Converge, but I'm thinking it's more Converge about the click track thing because they don't play with click at all.
They don't play.
I was thinking, was this record?
Dillinger don't play with a click.
They would for the record. It's too perfect to not be played to a click.
True.
And I think like there's videos of Billy Reimer tracking it with a click. I'm also thinking about if they're trying to track it 100 times. I think one of them would have thrown something at him.
Yeah, so it's A.
Sorry, guys, that is incorrect. He makes the band do a large number of takes, and the recording sessions are often described as like just being exhausting. When like band members think they do a great take, think it's album worthy, but then Steve just makes them do it again and again and again. And it's kind of very similar to how Stanley Kubrick would do like hundreds of takes in The Shining of Jack Nicholson, just to make him get really wound up and appear really crazy. And Steve's technique is about elevating the performance so that it's like really exaggerated. So he'd get Greg to do these vocal takes like, you know, 50 times. And Greg would be like, I'm doing really well, like with these takes, they're amazing. But he just didn't sound angry. So when he sounded angry, that's what Steve wanted to hear. So that's the point of saying
like someone would have thrown something. That was the intention of.
Yeah. So I was kind of, I was getting there.
You were getting there, but we got it wrong though.
I got it wrong. It was just the
The band I know who recorded all their parts sort of separately without hearing anything else was the Mars Volta.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that checks out.
Does make sense.
Okay, this is the last question. Greg Puciato has stated there are a number of Easter eggs hidden within the album. An example of this is that there are lyrics that reference the Twilight Zone. Oh. Which of the following do you think is true? Is it A, James Hetfield plays xylophone on some songs? Is it B, the song CH375268277ARS is a cipher that actually means something? Or is it C, some of the lyrics used in Calculating Infinity are reused throughout the album?
Now it's
not James Hetfield.
But the thing is, like, I'm trying to think, is why would they put Calculating Infinity lyrics on that record? And I'm trying to think of them.
I don't think there are any.
I don't think so. It'd be B.
I think it's B.
I'm going to go with B if the... Yeah, go with B.
Yep, that is absolutely correct. The song CH375268277ARS is a cipher that actually means something to someone. Nobody. It's not clear who knows what it means. Obviously, Greg knows, but it isn't Ben. So he said, someone close to me knows what it means, but it isn't Ben. So yeah, that is the answer. And a little tidbit, there are some high-profile vocalists that played instruments on the album, and Greg of the band have said it's up to them if they want to make it public or not. But the example he gave was, it's kind of think of James Hetfield playing a xylophone, except it's not James Hetfield playing a xylophone.
Yeah.
Lars Ulrich playing the tuba.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Probably plays with like Mike Patton's on there for some reason.
They are, definitely.
He's, yeah,
definitely,
I was thinking, yeah, it'd be Mike Patton, but then at the same time I thought, well, surely they'd just say, well, Mike's involved in this one. Because he's recorded an EP with him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He was the one who got them off the ground as well.
Yeah.
Like, the reason that first album did so well and they got so many gigs was because Mike Patton was like, they hated it. They really didn't like the first album. They were like, this is too weird. And then Mike Patton just wouldn't stop listening to it. And he said, like, I'm taking you on tour, you weird little kids. And that was it.
That is the end of the quiz, guys. You almost got a clean sheet. Almost 100%. How are you feeling?
I feel fine.
I'm good.
I feel good. I feel happy. I think the question we got wrong, it's kind of like, it was neither here nor there, to be honest with you. It could have been one or the other.
One of Us Is the Killer by the Dillinger Escape Plan from the year 2013, as chosen by our guests today, Cam and Johnny from Lurin. It was an obvious choice, wouldn't you say, Steve?
Yeah, definitely. Cam, Johnny, thanks a lot for joining us. I hope you've had a lot of fun. I know I've had a lot of fun. I know Martin's had a lot of fun. You've got one last chance to speak to our listeners. What do you want to tell them?
Hey, so please follow us on everything, all preferred social media that you have. We don't have a TikTok. Sorry about that. Lurin Band, at Lurin Band on everything. Also, probably got the time, we do put on our own shows in Manchester through a thing called Anti-Mind Music on all socials. Any bands wanting to play Manchester, give us a shout and we can try and see if we can put you on. Yeah.
Rock and roll will never die.
Rock and roll, baby.
Nice one, guys. Thanks again for joining us. Again, it's been awesome. Listeners, thanks for listening and see you next time.